Wow, we can give thanks and praise for our young people who led us in worship this morning. Aren't they something? I'm telling you. And, you know, along with that, this past week, our United Methodist men had their scholarship awards and presented to three of our young people. And, you know, that was a great evening for us in honor of Nevin Westcott. And three of those young people, of course, are active and involved in our church. And we thank God for them. We thank God for their lives. And two of them were up here this morning leading us and being involved in the life of our church. And so we pray and know that God will do wonderful things, continue to do wonderful things in their lives this morning and always. I want to read this morning from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 14. And I know as you look over there and you read that passage, you're going to say, well, I've heard this one many times. Because where do we hear it a lot? We hear it at funerals or at graveside services. I'm going to approach it just a little bit different this morning. And so let's hear the Word of God to us. Let's start out with that first phrase. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He just had the Last Supper. He was getting ready to leave them. And he wanted to comfort them. But you know, and I know, that their hearts aren't the only ones that are troubled. My guess is that your heart and my heart are troubled this morning. It can be some little thing or it can be some major thing going on in our lives. But you know, and I know also that not only are your hearts troubled, but many of the folks whom you know and you talk to, we prayed about them this morning, their hearts are also troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some translations say room, which is probably a better translation of the word. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Brothers and sisters, that's a promise from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to his disciples and to us. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Do you know the Father this morning? Do you know the Son? Have you experienced the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Do you believe you can do greater works than Jesus himself? That's what he's saying to his disciples. And I believe that's what he's saying to us. And then we hear these words, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, we don't ask it so that we might be glorified or so that we might get the honor and the praise. We ask it so that God might be glorified. Maybe that's the reason sometimes our prayers don't go the way we want them to go. Because we're selfish, aren't we? Well, maybe I should say I am. We're selfish. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks this morning for the opportunity to read and hear your word. We ask your blessings now upon the preached word as it goes forth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had the opportunity this week to see two movies. I'd heard about them. My son's young people had talked about them. And it was the first movie. I hadn't seen the first movie of Captain America. I don't know if you've seen it. But in order, the second movie was in town. So, and some of the young people in our church, like, I'm not going to call any names, like Drew and Sarah and Anna, said, you need to see the first one before we go to see the second one. And, of course, I thought it was fascinating. There's a lot of, you know, bullets flying and all that stuff. I don't really get into that much. I don't go to a lot of movies. But the point of the movie had to do with troubled times. Trouble in America during World War II. And the idea that you can get this human being, but it's not any human being. We had to get a human being whose heart was in the right place. I know I'm losing some of you. Probably say, I haven't seen that movie. Preacher, you lost me. Some of you are already starting to stare around, I know. But the point is, it had to do with the heart of this soldier who was a scrawny guy. But they were looking not for physical attributes, not intelligence, not emotional stability, but they were looking for the right heart in order to inject this new stuff that would just kind of buff him like you've never seen. He was buffed up and had strength and power and agility. It was like, whoa, this guy is on. You're talking about steroids. Now, these were super steroids. I guess that's what they were. But the main thing I want to talk about this morning was it had not any person could take this up, because if they did, they would use it for evil and not for good. And so as the movie played out, he was the right guy. Troubled times. We live in a world and in a society where trouble is everywhere. It just wasn't in Jesus' day. But it is everywhere, isn't it? And Jesus is preparing to leave his disciples, as I said earlier, and he is trying to comfort them because he knows if you think you're troubled now, you just wait till I'm crucified on that cross and I leave you. You hadn't seen trouble, and you will know it in a different way. And you will feel and sense that trouble in a way that is going to cut you to the quick, cut you deep within your soul and within your spirit. But I like this passage of Scripture because Jesus doesn't want to leave them there, and he doesn't want to leave you and me and our troubles either. And so he is, you know, because Jesus loves them and cares about them, because he has been with them now for 3 years, he doesn't want to leave them in that position, in that circumstance, if you want to call it, in the same way that when a friend or a child, a son or daughter is troubled, we want to reach out to them, don't we? We want to try to help them. We want to try and see and give them a new way of thinking of things, of letting them know that that trouble will not always be there. That there is an out, we like to say. There is an end. There is, you're on a journey. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's letting them know that there will be a place. That where he is going, there will be a place where they will find him and seek him and find comfort. That even though he might not be there physically, Jesus is letting them know that he's not going to forget about them. Isn't that marvelous? We all worry about people forgetting about us, don't we? What does my life come to? What is this? What is that? But if you really love somebody, you really care about somebody, you're going to try to do your best to comfort them in their time of trouble. So Jesus says, there is a final destination. And I am going there. Well, they have no clue about what he's talking about. No clue whatsoever. And from the beginning of time, people have done all sorts of things and spent all kinds of money trying to prepare and plan and point the way for those who have passed on, to give them some hope. You remember in your early history class, I remember reading about the ancient Egyptians. And you've read about them, and I have too, because you know about the ancient mummies. And you know that the Egyptians, and many of you have probably seen, if you haven't seen a mummy, you've certainly seen photographs of them. And many of you know from your reading of history, and I remember it from mine, that not everybody was treated the same in ancient Egypt. The common, ordinary person, nobody really cared about them. But the pharaohs, now, they were something different. Because you know, and I know in reading about history, that a pharaoh was such an important, he was such a VIP, that they planned for his journey past death. And the Egyptians are the ones we know, maybe you know a little bit more, but that sort of perfected mummifying their leaders. This gets a little bit gross, you know. They would take their organs out, mummify them, put them back in. But they would take out the pharaoh's brain. Nobody really knows how they did it. Or maybe they do now. But they wouldn't put it back in because they felt like the brain was of no consequence. Can you believe that? Sometimes I feel that way about mine. And, you know, it took a long time to do that. And so for the Egyptians, they felt like, you know, the brain, while we consider the brain the center, you know, of our thought patterns and all that we do, the seat of who we are as a person, but in Jesus' time and in the time of the Egyptians, the heart was the center, the seat of all that took place. As Jesus is talking to his disciples now, and we read this word, the Greek word for heart in this passage is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. Sounds familiar? Cardiac. And basically what this word means is that, you know, when we think of the word heart, we think of feelings. We think of it as kind of the sense of our emotions. But in Jesus' time, it meant more than that. It meant like, they used the word gut for it. You know how we say, I have a gut feeling about this. And sometimes we might say, well, my heart is not really in that. But if you have a feeling about something, that kind of goes deeper than the heart and the mind, doesn't it? And so when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he is trying to touch the very depths of who they are and what they are feeling and thinking. When Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he is feeling deep compassion for them. And they are for him. And so as they go through this conversation that they are a part of, Jesus tells his disciples, don't be troubled. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? We tell each other that. We say, well, pray about it. Read the Word. Go to the Psalms. Go talk to somebody. Sometimes our spirit gets so troubled and we get so intense within that we can't even think straight sometimes. But Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, and he's trying to tell you and me this morning, that how we act out our faith is important, and how we live out our faith. And that there's some things that we know that we just know. And so as he is speaking to his disciples this morning, or in this passage of Scripture, he's telling them, he says, you know, in your gut, in your feeling, you should know by now. You not only should know who I am, but you should know that you can trust what I say. So Jesus, you know, answers them. Thomas doesn't know what Jesus is talking about. Lord, how can we know the way? Thomas doesn't know about this final resting place, this final destination. He wants to know how to get there. You know, have you ever gotten in the car with the kids, or have you ever just jumped in the car and said, well, and they said, well, where are we going? So I don't know. I've done that a time into a vacation. You know, I realized the kids, we got to do something with the kids. And they said, well, I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know, but I'll figure it out. Everybody wants to know where they're going. Everybody wants to know what the plan is. Everybody wants to know, how am I going to get there? Early on, Thomas was ready to go with Jesus to the cross. Remember, after the raising of Lazarus, Thomas said, he's going to Jerusalem. Let us go with him so that we might die with him. That's commitment. That's faith. That's believing in the very depths of your heart and soul. The one you are following. All throughout history, people have believed in Jesus so much and have trusted in his word so much that it doesn't matter where their faith journey took them, they were ready to go. And many went to the cross, and many died because of their belief. Many of us are familiar with the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. You know that song. We've seen the chorus a few times. But some of the words are, no turning back, remember? Lord, no turning back. Other verses are, though no one joins me, yet I will follow the cross before me, the world behind me. Do you know the origin of this song? This song was put together by an Indian in the village of India in the 19th century. This man had watched his wife be executed for her belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knew his fate would be the same. But he was so committed to what Jesus had called him to do and where he was going that it didn't matter. And so he wrote this song, those last words, the cross before me, the world behind me. But because he was willing to go to the cross, because he was willing to give of his life, many, many people in India were saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as God, just as Jesus said he was preparing a place for the disciples, so he's preparing a place for you and me. It cost the disciples their lives, and it's cost many people throughout the ages to be martyred for the cause of Christ. And we have to ask ourselves a couple questions this morning. Do I really believe that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me? And if I do, how am I living that out in this world, in the here and now? How uncomfortable am I willing to be? How uncomfortable am I willing to be? How much am I willing to be a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ? Jesus says to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. He also says that to you and to me. What's troubling you this morning? Maybe it was a song that we sang and you didn't like it. But it might have spoken to someone else. Maybe the worship service isn't the way you want it to be. And so that troubles you. But it just might speak to someone else. Maybe you came into the sanctuary this morning and someone was sitting in your pew where you normally sit. And you were troubled. Don't you feel like you're just suffering for Jesus? We're not even willing to be martyrs for a little bit, sometimes, much less give our lives for what Jesus has prepared and planned for you and for me. What words of assurance and power for you and me today? My heart's troubled for many things. But sometimes it's troubled because of my own selfish desires, because of my own selfishness. What are we willing to martyr, if I could use that word in that way? What are we willing to martyr in our own lives for God has so graciously given to you and to me. We can martyr our time to serve in the food pantry. We can martyr our talents and our gifts. We can martyr our finances, give up a little bit, you know. And we think when we do that, we're just giving it all to God. Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to you and me, the Christian life is not just a test. The Christian life is a journey of faith. And sometimes, you know, we might have to forgo our favorite hymn so that someone else might be blessed. And sometimes we might have to forgo other things in our lives. So that the kingdom of God might prosper in our community and in our church and upon this earth in which we live. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So what do we do? What do we do? As the body of Christ. What do we do as individuals? We pray. Yes, we do. We trust. Yes, we do. We read our Bibles. Yes, we do. We serve in the church. Yes, we do. We use our status to influence others because of a few, because it's not the way they like it or someone likes it. We serve in different ministries? Yes, we do. What are those points and times? Are we really being martyrs for the kingdom of God? Or are we just giving God a little bit? Just a little bit. What kind of journey are you on? What kind of destination are you preparing your heart and your soul and your mind to be a part of? Jesus is not only talking about a mansion in glory where you won't be bothered by family or friends. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about rooms. And see, when you have rooms, that means there's other people in rooms beside of you. That means it's a community. And we only think selfishly when we think we want that mansion up on the hilltop and nobody else can bother us. That's not what Christian life's all about. Christian life's been about it's been about where the people are. And we mingle with those people. Many of you ever watched the movie Downton Abbey? In the show Downton Abbey, it goes back to early England. And this lord had this castle. And everybody in that castle belonged to him, basically. They worked for him. The servants had little rooms in their castle, in this castle, and he sort of took care of them. He provided for them. When Jesus says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you," he is saying, don't think you're going to be by yourself up there. Don't think you're not going to be bothered by anybody else. That's not the way it's going to be. Because being a part of the kingdom of God has to do with being with Jesus. And if we're with Jesus, he's going to be with others. And God's going to be with others. And we will be there too. So what kind of journey are you on? What kind of destination are you on today? And how will you get there? What's troubling you today? Do you have the heart of God? Do you have the heart of a believer? That you are willing, and I am willing, to martyr ourselves for God's kingdom. Let us pray. Lord, you know where we are going. Just as you told the disciples, you had prepared the way, so you prepare the way for us. God, sometimes the destination, the journey, even on this earth, is troubling at best. We go through those challenges and times in our lives where we don't know what's going to happen next. Just as Jesus comforted the disciples, so he comforts you and me today as we travel on that path. God, may we have the confidence that you tried to tell your disciples, that you tried to demonstrate for your disciples. May we too have that confidence as the children of God to know that you will never leave us or forsake us. God, fill us with your power today and fill us with a desire to be faithful servants in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.